Well, Mike has no clue what a great segue that was into the message, but he also gave me a thought. So I'm going to come around to each of one of the kids, and we'll try to do this really quickly. But what's one of God's rules? Because Mike brought up that when we're talking about all those games, that the commonality was that all the games have rules, right? And that our Father, Abba, in heaven, God, has rules also. So can you name one of the rules that you're supposed to keep? Do you remember one? One of God's rules? Say again. Oh, wait. It's not on. Oh, it's the battery's low. Here, we'll do it this way.
Not to kill.
Obey your mom and dad.
Yep. Do you remember one?
Do not steal.
What about you? You remember one of the rules that God says we're supposed to follow?
Do not covet.
Okay.
Do not murder.
Do not murder. That's a good one.
Keep the Sabbath.
Yep. I don't know how old you guys are, so I'm going to get myself in trouble. Okay. You remember one?
Do not commit adultery.
No, don't commit adultery. How about you?
Not talking back to your parents.
Don't talk back to your parents, all right? Do you remember one?
Don't make old.
Say it loud.
Don't make old.
Don't make what? Oh, don't make false testimonies. All right. Well, any of you guys remember one you want to share?
Read the Bible.
Yep, he says that quite a bit.
I'm trying to think of one that hasn't been said.
You got one?
Do not make idols.
Jehovah your God is your only God.
Yep, he's your only God. Someone,
I'll just go with do not covet.
Do you remember one?
Thou shalt not steal.
Okay. Do you remember one of God's rules? How about you?
Do not murder.
Do not murder. Okay. Oops. What about you guys? You remember one of God's rules you want to share?
Do not eat pork.
Do not eat pork. Awesome. All right, who's next? What about you? You ready? You remember one of God's rules? No? Do you remember one of God's rules that you got to keep? No?
Help others.
Help others, all right. Nothing? All right. Do you remember any of God's rules? What about your sister? You remember one?
Dad would help Nana.
Okay. Remember one?
I don't know.
No? All right, we'll move on.
Well, so
there, now I'm back. So my topic today is wisdom. Did I miss anybody? Okay. So adults and kids, you can do this too for the moment. I want you to think back. What's one of the biggest decisions you've ever had to make in your life? To follow God. To follow God, all right. You got one? To get married. To get married or who to marry?
Both.
Okay. Jeremy, you had one?
To number our children.
Did you get an answer yet? All right. How did you go about making one of these big decisions? Maybe you assembled a few facts, right? Maybe you weighed some pros and cons. Maybe you talk to a few people about it. Some decisions that we have to make, we get the benefit of time. We can think and stew about it for for a couple hours, a few days, maybe even a couple of years. But some decisions we have to make right now. How do we go about making those? What about the decisions that, for the most part, only affect me versus the decisions that is going to affect everybody around me? Some of our decisions, in the long run, they work out okay. But others turn out not so hot. And a few of them are outright destructive for us, aren't they? So what's the key ingredient we need to navigate this life and all of its decisions? Is it knowledge? Is it facts? Is it timing? Is it the consequence? And then, is it spiritual or is it physical? Let's turn to Acts 5. Acts 5 and verse 38. He tells them, "So in this present case, I tell you, keep away from those men and let them alone. Because if this plan or this undertaking is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. And in that case, you may even be found fighting against God." And they were convinced by him. There's a couple of huge statements here. You could be found fighting against God. You ever thought about that sentence before? Have you ever done that? I think all of us has done it. And I think we do it on somewhat of a regular basis, even though today we're striving not to. Then it says, because if this plan or this undertaking is of human origin, it will fail. Doesn't say it might. It says it will fail. Do we consider that? And if that's the case, should I be making any decisions at all? We are created beings. We have a creator. We rebel against our creator when we live life the way we want to instead of the way that we were created to live this life. Are we willing to live a life that we're created for? Or I deserve, it's my right, it's my choice, it's my money, it's my time. Do we understand that our Creator has the right to set things back on His track? The right to punish as well as the right to bless. And do we remember that everything He does is in love? He gives us all the ability to repent, and then He tells us that He blots out our sin through the sacrifice of His Son. So if we were created, was it not for a purpose? And are we willing to fall into that purpose? And what good could ever come when we choose to go against that purpose? Or just simply choose to even to ignore that purpose. In Psalms 14 and verse 1, David says, "Fools say in their heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they do abominable deeds, there is no one who does good." If you're not walking with God, you do no good, period. It doesn't matter how kind you are. You do no good. Basically, you're worthless. So, the knowledge of God and trying to learn His will and do His will is the only way that we can be a positive influence in the long run. We make bad decisions not because God gave us bad information or lacked in giving us anything, but because we seek information and knowledge from everywhere except for from Him. Wisdom isn't simply being smarter. Wisdom is realizing God's will, His righteousness, His Holy Spirit, and adding those elements into every thought and action in our lives. Let's go to Proverbs 2. Starting in 1, verse 1. It says, "My child, if you accept my words and treasure up my commandments within you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, if you indeed cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding." First thing he says there, we must notice that we have to accept God's words and His commands. So like Mike brought up with the kids, there are rules and we have to accept that fact. It also said there in that passage that from God's mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Not from the worldly view of things, but from God's mouth. When's the last time you used a concordance? Do you know what a concordance is? It's a list of words. It's like a lexicon. But basically, if there's a topic that you need some understanding in, and you would like to know some of God's will or some of His thoughts on that topic, you can go to a concordance and pull up that word or one of the words that are in and around that topic, and it will give you all the verses that talk about that word. So if we wanted to know more about finances, whether or not we can find a whole lot in the Bible on that word, but we know some words that have to do with finances, don't we? Like money. We look up the word money, we're going to find a lot of verses in the Bible. And as we look at some of those verses, we're going to start seeing some other words that tie in, like tithing, stewardship, first fruits. And then we probably should look at some of those words too. So he hasn't give us a lack of anything. We can't go to God and say, "Well, you didn't give me knowledge in this area." Yeah, He did. It's in His Word. Do we go look for it? And then are we willing to put it to use? What tends to happen on something like finances, where our life isn't going so well, we feel like we're poor, can't keep up with our bills and things like that, so what do? We go to an accountant and ask him how to take care of our finances, right? Problem is, the accountant won't say anything about tithing, stewardship, first fruits. You're lacking information. Doesn't matter how good the accountant is, you're lacking some information. for having relationship problems. If we go to a counselor out there, most cases, they won't tell us anything about godly forgiveness. The two greatest commandments, discipleship, and we kind of need to know something about all three of those things to have a good relationship with somebody. Any decision we make without the knowledge of God and His will fall short, ultimately, and fail. In that same passage there in Proverbs 2, another thing we were told was to ask God for insight. That means pray. How often do we go to God and say, Father, I got this decision, or I feel like I'm in a situation where I need some insight. Will you help me? Do we seek Him for understanding like we do treasures from the earth? Proverbs 2, verse 4, it says, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures. Think about what man does to seek treasures out of the earth. Gold. Do you know how deep we dig and how into a mountain or how far we go to find some gold these days? The equipment that's involved, the man hours, the cost. What about oil? What do we go to get oil up out of the ground? Do we seek His understanding the same way? Are we willing to put that much effort into it as we do for some of those things? Then in verse 6, we see that it is God who gives wisdom. So it's not something that was born into us. We have to seek it. It's not something we can go acquire, in a sense, pay for. I can't pay some college to give me wisdom. They will give me maybe some knowledge, but then the question is, how valuable is that knowledge? Let's go to Proverbs 4 and verse 5. It says, get wisdom, get insight, do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom, and whatever else you get insight. Again, wisdom isn't something we just have or something we're born with. It's something we must seek and then put it to good use. Proverbs 9 and verse 10. This is a big one. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Hallelujah. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. That means our knowledge of Him, His way, and His will, and the desire to follow His rules. That's the only way we're going to get wisdom. And that means anybody who's willing to do that has the opportunity for great wisdom. Colossians 1 and verse 9. Again, keeping in mind that we were created with purpose by a Creator who loves us. Colossians 1 and verse 9, for this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. Here the Corinthian church was being prayed for. Just as we should be praying for each other, that all of us lead worthy lives from our Savior's sacrifice. Do we take time to do that? The first place in the Bible that wisdom is mentioned is in the story of Joseph. We know that he's imprisoned. from a false accusation of Potiphar's wife, and that while he's in prison, he meets the baker and the cupbearer, right? Cup taster. And he's asked both of them, if you get out, will you get me up to the Pharaoh? Tell the Pharaoh about me. And finally, one of them does, and he is brought before the Pharaoh because the Pharaoh's had a couple of dreams that very much disturb him. And the Pharaoh will not tell anyone what the dreams were, but he requires someone to come before him and interpret the dreams. But before they interpret the dream, they must tell the Pharaoh what he dreamed. It's an impossible task, right? And the Pharaoh's men even call him out on that. Just say, there's no way we can do this. You got to tell him. You got to give us some clues here. And he says, nope. But Joseph is before the Pharaoh and is able to do that. Why is he able to do that? Because he's already been talking to God. God's already been talking to him. Joseph knows God's voice. And Joseph is willing to do whatever it is that God's asking him to do. And when Joseph answers the Pharaoh, truly, truthfully, the Pharaoh says to his servants, this is Genesis 41 and verse 38, can we find anyone else like this, one in whom the Spirit of God? Pharaoh recognizes where this answer came from. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has shown you all of this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. Joseph's wisdom wasn't in his own personal thoughts. It was God's plan. And Joseph just was an active participant in that. A plan that had been revealed to him directly by God. Wisdom is applying the divine truth to everyday situations. The skill of righteous living. Daily, throughout the day, are we looking, how would God have us take this next step? In everything we're doing, is it falling into God's will, or how much of the day is it falling into our will? And what did we read is going to happen when it's of man? Another thing that we need to keep in mind, there's only one person that we should be going to and asking an opinion. One type of person. It's someone who will give you God's will or God's view. If you remember to do that and only that, you have no idea how much money, time, and effort you're going to save in your life. Because again, you can go to that accountant and they'll tell you how to get rich. But then what good is that? Let's go to Proverbs 2 and verse 7. Read through another passage. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk blamelessly, guarding the paths of justice and preserving the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Prudence will watch over you, and understanding will guard you. It will save you from the way of evil and from those who speak perversely, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, and who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil. Those whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. You will be saved from the loose woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the partner of her youth and forgets her sacred covenant. For her way leads down to death and her paths to shades. Those who go to her never come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. Therefore, walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the just. For the upright will abide in the land and the innocent will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Walking in God's will brings wisdom into our heart, which then saves us from the way of evil. Those that choose to go against God's will, that is evil. You know, Solomon realized that he had been created with a purpose, that his father was created with a purpose, David. And Solomon decided to walk in God's will and in that purpose. So let's go to 1 Kings 3. And we get some insight as to Solomon's realization of his purpose. 1 Kings 3 and verse 1 says, Solomon made a marriage alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. And the people were sacrificing in the high places. However, because no house had yet been built for the name of the Lord, Solomon loved the Lord, walking in his statutes of his father David only. He sacrificed and offered incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, and for that was the principal high place, and Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. And at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I should give you. Now Solomon here, it looks like this is basically his coronation. And during his coronation, he sought out a way to honor God through sacrifices. And 1,000 bulls he puts there on the altars. Now that night, it appears like it was that same night, God comes to him in a dream and says, ask what I should give you. And Solomon said, you have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart towards you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made me your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, he wasn't a child, age-wise. Anybody remember how old Solomon was when he was turned king? Was he fairly young? You think he was in his teens? All right, okay. Where was I at? 1 Kings 3, verse 7. Now, O Lord my God, you have made me your servant king in the place of my father. Although I am a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil, for who can govern this, your great people? And it pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life, riches, or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall rise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, all of your life. No other king shall compare to you. If you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life. Then Solomon awoke. It had been a dream. He came to Jerusalem where he stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and he offered up burnt offerings and offerings of well-being and provided a feast for all of his servants. You know, some of us can look at that and say, well, that was Solomon. Yeah, he needed that because he was going to be king over a people. Do we forget what our roles in the future are to be? Are we not to be kings and priests in his kingdom? Don't we need the exact same thing Solomon needed? The same wisdom, the same discernment. And don't you think God is eager to bless us the same way he was eager to bless Solomon?
Maybe a smidge less.
Wisdom is allowing God to lead us through life by hearing his voice, his word, his spirit, thereby hearing his will. If any of us think we can just get through this life safely by being a good Christian, we're wrong. We totally lack wisdom. What we have is pride. And what does it say about pride? It goeth before a great fall, right? Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 6. Yet among the mature we do speak wisdom, though it's not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to perish, but we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are spiritually discern all things, and they are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We started by reading that we must accept God's word and treasure his commands. That the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Are we spending as much time, effort, and resources in prayer and study that we not only know he hears our prayers, but we know his voice when he answers those prayers? Wisdom is knowing God's will and implementing it into our daily lives, recognizing the difference between worldly and righteous knowledge, along with the difference of the consequences. Let's end up with one more passage, James 3. James 3 and verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and devilish. It very clearly says that worldly wisdom is demonic, period. When we look around now, if we send our kids into the college atmosphere, one of the first things they're going to be taught over and over and over and over and over and over again, creation did not happen. There is no creator. That you can do anything you want to. It is demonic, period. Not saying that there's some information out there that's not of value to us and that God, you know, wouldn't mind us acquiring, but we got to realize that man's solutions are demonic, period, because they do not include his will. James 3, verse 16. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. You've heard me say the line, we're either blessed or we're cursed. Are we going to fall into the blessings, or are we willing to take the curse? We were created for a purpose. Let's make sure we're walking every step in that purpose. Anybody got any thoughts, comments, questions? Yeah, Rick.
With a background in higher education, I can tell you that what you said is absolutely true. It's a true witness. Colleges are no longer higher learning unless you're talking about drugs. They certainly do not dispense true knowledge. They may have technological knowledge and excellence of earthly things, but they have no spiritual knowledge or understanding. And they repel and reject it at every opportunity, and I've had first experience with that. They will not tolerate any mention of the Creator or of objective truth. So, yeah, if you can get your education that you need to function in the world without going through all that horse pucky, do it. And I applaud homeschoolers. That is so valuable that you don't let the demonic forces get to your children early on, because that's what the drive is for government-funded preschool education. They can't stand not having an in early on to help shape the child in their way, not in Yah's way. Thank you.
Anybody else? All right, let's finish up with a song, and then, after, very shortly after services, if I could meet with anybody that wants anything to do with the children's program and or parents, why come back for just a few minutes.